B61. Number 3B.
In the same way, we say, well, that we have to practice Christian Science. Well, we practice Christian Science. You know, it is as if Christian Science or God would be a small servant to whom we can say, well, I go and tell you what to do. We apply you. Well, God is much bigger than we, and therefore we must see that we should let the bigger control our lives, namely that we should let life live us. That actually we should let life apply itself as us. Can you see the enormous difference? If we try to live Christian Science, then we first must have an image of what we want to live, or we cannot apply it. We cannot live it. So we must first have an image of what we should live. Well, that image is personal, is limited, is human. We formulate it, and we formulate an ideal, but that is always too small. It's never really big enough, and therefore we must let the bigger control the lesser. Therefore we must let life, who has an ideal and who knows what life wants to express, we must let life live us. Now, can you see the enormous difference in its result? The result is that if we stay with metaphysics, we'll really never really grow. We'll never really make progress or exalt ourselves, because we always will be captured within the limits of our thinking. What we think our life should be. We are entrenched, so to say, in the ruts of our human thinking, what life in Christian Science could be. It's still our human ideal, and that is too small for us. Therefore, if we really want that God changes us, and that really want that we are exalted above the previous state of existence and consciousness, we must let the one life live us and see that God knows how to live us, that God knows what God wants to do with us. Not we knowing what we want to do with life, but life knowing what it wants to do with us. Can you see that point? Can you see that it is a tremendous willingness to let go of all the human concept, of the whole material mortal concept of life and man? We have to let that go. That's why we have in the Bible and also in the textbook constantly, when Mrs. Eddy comes to life, we have very often that sense that we have to let go of a human concept of life, of a human concept of what should be demonstrated, so that we actually make room for the one life to live us. And that only in this way really we open up ourselves for a terrific unfoldment and a terrific advancement within our consciousness of what is meant by Christian Science. Is that clear? Is that really clear? Do you see that it would change our whole attitude towards us and towards everybody else? Namely, that we are not constantly evaluating our life and our style of life and the other fellow's life and style of life according to what we think would be a life of a Christian Scientist. It would always be too narrow. Always. We must have that consciousness and that trust that the one life lives everyone. And then really the newness of life can come in. That's another point, you see. In metaphysics, you have repetition. You have routine. You have the ruts. You always, in metaphysics, we always know only as much as what we know. In metaphysics, we never know more than what we know, because we use what we know. Not so in science. In science, we will be able to know always more than what we know, because we let the one life live us, and therefore that one life reveal itself to us. And so that one life will bring us always new ideas, spontaneous new ideas, the freshness of ideas, the expansion of ideas. Not in metaphysics. In metaphysics, you only use what you know. Can you see that? That's a terrific point. You see, the difficulty one encounters as a student is naturally this, that if we are working in metaphysics, we feel much more secure at the beginning, because we are practicing what we know. And when we do something which we know, we always feel more secure, because we rely on experience. The moment we let science work in us, we are a bit insecure at the beginning, because we don't know what will happen. Because the newness of life will bring us situation, will bring us insight that are so new to us that we, at the beginning, we may not even trust them, that we not even may value them properly and see what they really bring to us. That newness of life, because it brings to us a paradigm shift. It brings to us a shift in our routine of life to something new which we have not yet proven, which we have not yet experienced, and therefore brings to us something which we don't quite trust. That's why one always says it takes courage, it takes boldness to go the way of science, because it always brings us into a new situation. It forces us into a complete new situation. And everything that is new, we are a bit tentative about it. We don't quite know, shall we go along with it or not? We don't always quite know, is it really God speaking to us or isn't it? You see? So the way of science is always a way which demands courage, spiritual courage. Because it always treads on new ground. But with metaphysics, we will never tread new grounds. We say that there is a way of life, and we say that we must go the way of life. We teach that, but we are aware that it is what? Metaphysics or science? If we go the way of life, it's in a way metaphysics, huh? As long as we are not going to science, where we say, well, in science you don't have to go the way of life. You are the way. Just as Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't just say, I'm going along the way. He said to his followers, he said to his disciples, follow me. Because he could see that they would not yet been able really to take the standpoint that he was taking, where he said, I am the way. So for the metaphysical disciples, he said, follow me, go the way of life. And that's true for us too, until we reach science in our consciousness and say, but life is the way. We have not to follow a way. To follow a way is always as takes in always the days of creation, takes always in a becoming way, a way of becoming and not of being. But life science says you are the way, you are the method of life. Life is that which practices you, life is that which lives you, life is that which experiences you, life is that which is the individuality of you, and so we are not going the way, we are the way. We are the very way. Now, always remember that we have seen that science includes metaphysics. That must always be seen. So that life living us and being the way always includes that it drives us to go the way. That it forces us to go the way. That it pushes us to go the way. So you have always to balance those two things, science and metaphysics, or it gets out of balance and it gets into absolutism. Yeah? Is that clear too? And actually, you have not the courage to say no. Let's take a few examples from truth. Well, in metaphysics we learn what is true and what is right. Ideas are true, and therefore using ideas is right, and therefore we feel that this is the pinnacle of science. Is it? It is not. I just see the heads going like this. Well, it actually is not. Why isn't it? Why isn't that right, that we use ideas and good ideas? Why isn't that right? That's quite a problem, because we don't know what is right. Only truth does right, and therefore only truth knows what is right. Is that clear? We cannot just take for any situation those truths that we know. What is solving a problem is that only those truths are solving the problem which are adapted to that situation. It's a great difference between a truth and a scientific truth. Perhaps I have come back to this again, though in the last few years I have been teaching that over and over, that the truth is not always the scientific truth. That truth may not be a scientific truth. And you think that's not possible. Something that is true, and it isn't. Why isn't it? It isn't when it is not adapted to a situation. If you have a problem to solve what is 5 times 5, then the truth that 6 times 6 is 36 is not a scientific truth. It's only a truth, but not a scientific truth, because it's not applied to the problem of 5 times 5. Only 5 times 5 equals 25 is a scientific truth in that situation. Therefore, you can see how often we are in a situation where perhaps we are confronted with a problem, and we say, well, I will do my metaphysical work. And actually what we then do is a metaphysical work and not a scientific work. What are we doing when we say, I must do some scientific work? Then we take all the right ideas and the right thoughts that come into my mind and affirm them and perhaps negate error that comes into our thought. And so by affirming various truths, plural, and negating various errors, we feel we are using truths. And a truth is a truth, and a truth is a truth, and therefore truth is truth. Well, it isn't. It isn't if it's not within the frame of reference of the problem, just as I have said before. Yeah? Do you agree? Do you see that? That we can't just take any old truth and affirm that truth. Negate error. That doesn't do the trick. Therefore, what is necessary is science. Well, science goes out from the one truth. And that one truth knows always the right truth for a specific situation. And therefore, that is a scientific truth, small t. Therefore, can you see that we should let truth apply itself, and not that we apply truths with plural? How do we do that? Now, that naturally involves really divine mind reading. It involves that we go out from the one truth, that one infinite truth, and begin to realize that that one infinite truth is the truth about every individual situation and knows the solution to every individual situation. That's truth, life, and love. And that is that which will analyze and uncover and annihilate the specific error. So only in that way we let truth uncover error in its own ways. You know that statement from Mrs. Eddy. Let truth uncover error in its own ways. It doesn't say uncover error in your way. It doesn't say let uncover error through knowing truth. That is metaphysics. We must let the divine truth operate through the divine mind reading to bring about the analysis and the uncovering and the annihilation of error. And only then really can we see the science of the truth. Is that clear? I ask again and again, because I'm very, very much interested that this goes over once and for all. I tried it over many years, and I always see that it's still a great enigma and that the students still fall back to metaphysics and try to handle problems in a metaphysical way and not even knowing that they are not using really the teaching of Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy is very clear in the textbook about these problems. Yes. Okay. Let's go to love and take one or the other example. You know, in love, which has the sense of fulfillment, the metaphysical approach is always that we feel that if we are very careful of gaining perfection through additional truths, truths, the plural, that if we are careful not to let any error come into our consciousness, that then our consciousness may be perfect and that we can see the fulfillment of something in a perfect way. Now, this is a metaphysical approach, which we could call, it's the addition approach. You add and add and add, always right. things. We are constantly awake and say, what shall I take in into my consciousness? We can stand watch at the door and watch what the guests are that are coming in. Are they positive? Are they negative? And we feel that in this way we can gain perfection, we can gain heaven. And it's a hell of a job. It's a hell of a job. Constantly to watch our thought, is it positive, is it negative? Constantly to affirm the positive, constantly to deny the negative. And this is a very heavy burden. It's not really that rest and that glory of love which we associate with the seventh day. It's that sense of addition. I don't know if you remember a statement by Dickey that he relates. When Mrs. Eddy said the following thing to him, that's how he recollected it. She said to him, now, can't you all get out of addition? Can't you all get out of addition? That would be that burdensome way constantly to watch, do I think right, do I think wrong? You do not have to stay in addition all the time. If you have the same principle, can you see now she goes right back to the synonymous term. If you have the same principle, it is just as easy, and in fact easier, to multiply than it is to add. It gives an easier way of multiplication instead of addition. You must rise out of the addition of Christian Science and let God, the divine mind, multiply through you. Can you see? Let God, principle, the divine mind, multiply through you. Well, how is that done? Well, that's done because the fullness and perfection of love always gives us everything in one go. It is not a climbing up the ladder and adding until you have a great heap, but it's always giving the fullness of life. And so it is a sense that there is a constant flow from love to the universe. That constant flow is an abundant flow of God to the universe. And it's not that which we have to, in a very burdensome way to add and add and watch and so on, but it is the grace of God where we see that everything, all, is always right at hand. Well, I think this gives us more or less an idea how we can take every synonymous term and how we can evaluate the metaphysical approach in one way and check it on us. Is that the way we think? Is that the way we try to solve our problems? Is that the way we go along with Christian Science? Or evaluate it from the point of view, if we go out from science, we always can go out from the synonymous term, see the bounty and beauty of the wholeness of the synonymous term that has only one value, that only sees itself, and let that operate in our consciousness. If we let that in, if we welcome that, if we accept that, and just open up our whole consciousness to that influx of the seven synonymous terms and all the bounty of the infinite, then naturally that begins to work within us begins to operate within us and brings out that which God wants to bring out, and not that which we would like to demonstrate. And that's the great turn in the practice.